A 14-year-old computer genius in Luoyang, Shandong Province, has been bombarded with criticism after his self-proclaimed MIT enrollment have been proven fabricated, with many internet users criticizing the boy for being way too self-absorbed. Yes, but this is not the first time that we're hearing something like this, and so much attention has been given to a child prodigy or a teenager prodigy, a genius. Let's talk about what's going on and this fascination behind someone super, super smart.
Yeah, let's take a closer look at the child prodigy. So this boy is called Li Xiangnan. Actually, he's a ninth grade student at Luoyang No. 2 Shiyan Middle School in Shandong Province. And he was reported by the local news media as a genius in the computer science. And according to an article released by the Luoyang Education and Sports Bureau on its official WeChat account on December the 4th, the boy signed a contract with the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, what we know as MIT. And also, he has become the youngest MIT student in the province history. But in a video like clipping circulating online, and the boy Li Xiangnan, he told viewers that he's not only accepted by MIT, he's also got offers from many prestigious world-renowned universities such as Osaka University in Japan and University of Waterloo in Canada. But the story took a surprise twist, because as the video circulated online and many net users raised doubts, noting that the story seems far-fetched. Why is that? A netizen at Sina Weibo says, "I saw the boy's letter of acceptance from Waterloo University online. It's pretty odd. Why is that? Because the addresser used Chinese instead of English to write the letter. And even more, the addresser's name in the letter is William Jefferson Clinton." You know who he is, right, Ryan?
42nd president of the United States. But yeah, so I'm pretty sure Bill Clinton isn't doing those kind of things. But yeah, in response to this rumor, MIT told Global Times, who kind of went into this and was like, what's going on? Is this really a boy prodigy? Did he really get into MIT? People care. There was a lot of people talking about this, okay? So they said that they do not make contracts with prospective students, and all students, without exception, follow the same application process. So for those of you that want to apply to MIT, there you go. You're welcome. Also, local authorities have promised to carry out an investigation into this incident, confirming that the article praising Lee's academic success was written by its employees in an announcement released on December 11th. So this means that maybe this kind of spread from a local government or somebody inside the local government, giving this kid maybe a little aid in getting this rumor out there. Local Education Bureau is believed to have led in making the story, and also further probing it out to the public. It seems that Lee's story is false, though, and someone definitely did fabricate it. Several media outlets have already pointed out several fatal problems with Lee's story. For instance, he claims he signed a pre-admission contract with Massachusetts University of Technology, which does not exist, and Massachusetts Institute of Technology, which carries a similar name, said they do not sign such contracts. So I guess he also posted photos of some emails about his pre-admission offer online, but these emails were sent from one of his own email accounts to the other. So, I mean, this was even just a patchy job, I'd say.
Yeah, that doesn't sound smart at all, actually. Yes. But what's going on with the mentality of, let's talk about, first of all, why would a boy or his family do this in the local Education Bureau was so quick to also sort of join in this whole brouhaha. So why is that, Huang Shan?
I think like many people are guessing this is led by the local education bureau, because they want to use this kind of child prodigy story to publicize the city's image. And I think like the child prodigy or the genius has can always grab the public attention in China. It can always, like, take the headline when there's one pop up. I think it's because the society's mentality. Like, I think from in the late 1970s and early 1980s in China, and a group of prodigies such as, like, Xie Yanbo and Liang Zhongjie, they were successively brought to the public attention. And I think, like, we also heard it's a 少年班. It's a special class for the gifted young people and established by the University of Science and Technology of China. The University of Science and Technology of China, they will every year selecting 21 prodigies across China, aging from 11 to 16 year old. So yeah. We can see Chinese people appreciate those, like, young genius.
I wouldn't even say it's just Chinese people. I'll talk maybe about some examples of how in the U.S. we also exalt intelligence in early ages, okay? In media, in cartoons, in movies, and in real life. But anyways, talking here specifically about the Chinese situation, I mean, I think for many of our listeners, maybe they know that and from listening to the show or by personal experience that sometimes Chinese parents believe they can maybe push their kids early on into things like scientific research, education type classes, or, you know, basically very academic heavy classes early on in life to create this kind of prodigy. So, you know, for example, some children have already mastered 2,000 Chinese characters, over 500 English words, and addition subtraction method within 100 before they got on board at primary school, which is pretty uncommon. So, on top of maybe these kind of child prodigies being exalted in the media here in China, I think we also see that even if your kid isn't necessarily a child prodigy, which, trust me, I think is sometimes a great thing, Chinese parents are pushing their kids as hard as they think a child prodigy should be pushed. Those that are very capable and almost superhuman, pushing their kids who maybe aren't prodigies, trying to create that, to foster that, I think.
Yeah, that's also a really important point, I think, that needs some discussion and attention. That is, when you say a person is a prodigy or a genius and you attach the word child in front of that, what I see is probably somebody who's born with an innate gift. You're born to be that sort of thing.
Yeah,
but there's also that idea that prodigies, like Ryan, you're saying that parents or some Chinese parents think that they can push their kids into becoming one, almost manufacturing one. And some people with all those classes that sort of collect prodigies, it's almost like a special school or a special class that can mass produce these people.
Yeah.
Well, what is that all about?
Let's define prodigy as it is standardized, okay, at least in the English language. So I'll say prodigies are usually defined as kids who have professional abilities before the age of 10. Now, remember, this university that Huang Shen had talked about, the University of Science and Technology of China, they've established special classes for gifted youngsters. Even these youngsters, their acceptance is between the ages of 11 and 16. So you can see, even by definition of what a prodigy is, and I just read to you, maybe in certain universities, they define prodigies even being after the age of 10. But for this definition, these are kids under the age of 10 or at 10 that have abilities that are most often in the rule-based fields of things like music, mathematics, art, and chess. Now, this is something I really want to, especially for our American listeners, because maybe they're familiar with this guy. We're talking about, Huang Shen, you had mentioned some very famous Chinese prodigies that kind of maybe came to fame through media attention. People like smart people. People really think it's you know, such a honorary thing to be an intellectual person, right? We see that through the past figures of like Kongzi, and then also these gentlemen here that in the 1970s and 1980s were these group of prodigies. But I don't know, have you guys ever seen this movie? It's called
A Beautiful Mind.
No.
Oh.
You know, I don't even remember the specific name, but it's about a guy named Bobby Fischer. He was an American chess player, and he was brilliant, okay? But he really existed, And from the age of 13 to 20, he conquered chess. I mean, beating people that were just also considered grand masters. This kid was a kid, but on the level of even adults.
Mm.
You know, imagine having that kind of existence, living that kind of life. Anyways, watching this movie, though, you know, it paints this picture of, at first you see this kid just play chess, like he's, it's just as easy as a hot knife through butter. But, you know, I think it also paints another picture of maybe the negative side. I think we'll talk about that prodigies sometimes face that is maybe hard. But specifically here, I guess, again, for Chinese parents, I think, too, we say that maybe in some cases, if their kids aren't prodigies, that the Chinese parents are pushing them academically to be so, so early on in life. But I think one thing I do want to quickly say as well is that, you know, I think there's been a transition of a growing middle class that has been very, has been quickened here in China. So there is this insecurity of, we have this nice middle class, we're consumers now, but not so long ago, maybe life was a little bit different. And so we always got to push ourselves and be ready for whatever comes next, to always be prepared, to always be competitive, because that comfort might be taken away from us. And so in which case, I think this makes Chinese parents, even though they're living in a very comfortable type middle class, or at least in megacities, hungry for their kids' education, saying, well, it wasn't like this so long ago, and so I need to make sure that my kid's mind and skills are sharp, like a prodigy's.
That's so interesting. And I think to some extent, I think it's spot on, especially for people who haven't had kids, I think, but we've all been kids. So I think to try to understand that mentality, and I, being a Chinese person, growing up in China in the 1990s, when I remember when society was a lot less affluent, and parents around me, I remember pushing their kids, sending kids to extra classes, and really trying to make the best out of the kid you have. And I remember thinking, once when society grows with material abundance, maybe things will change a little bit when, yes, when maybe the pushing wouldn't be as hard, and maybe competition would be a little bit less fierce, mm-hmm, because when people have more means, maybe things will be a little bit better, and it wouldn't be this cutthroat competition and pressure that I felt in Chinese schools. And now here we are traveling back. Okay, so 2017 and closely reaching 2018, things don't seem to have eased. It seems that anxiety that parents are feeling generation after generation have not eased, if not increased to some extent.
Yes.
So what do you think can be explained, maybe from a Chinese perspective, with this anxiety that parents are feeling, and they want the smartest kid they can possibly have?
I think for one thing, it's about the parents themselves. Maybe for most of them, or some of them, haven't received a good education when they were young, so they want to place all their hope on their kids. Another thing I want to say is maybe sometimes the media is sending out a misleading message. I remember, like, now we see more and more, like, an increasing number of child prodigy, they came out to the public attention. But maybe sometimes it's just the media themselves lower the threshold for what can be called as a prodigy. I remember a case is in last year, a 9-year-old Henan girl, a girl from Henan province, and she took part in the entrance examination for a college in China. And she only gained like 172 points at a exam, but the local media call her like, oh, a young genius. But this score is relatively low.
Is it okay? So as the foreigner here, maybe not necessarily familiar with the scoring, would that be okay for somebody that's not a prodigy?
No, you can't get into.
It's super low.
It's super low. Okay. I think at least you need to reach 400 points or 500 points.
Oh,
you can
okay.
only get enrolled into a average university in China. And also sometimes the media made the parents believe, oh, if you follow the like successful experience of how those kids become a prodigy, your kids can also become a prodigy. I think that's the reason why like Chinese people believe in prodigy so much. They even worship or appreciate prodigy.
Yeah, I think I mean, I wouldn't say that it's just Chinese people. I think, again, we all look at guys like Einstein. I don't even know if he was a prodigy, but basically people who are super intelligent, and we admire them, or I think we do. That's been my experience even in the United States. I think we just, and I'll say too, I think in the United States, we paint kind of one side of a coin of what actually the existence of a prodigy is. Often these people suffer from things like Asperger's syndrome and things like that, which make their life really tough. But, you know, in the U.S., I don't know if you guys ever watched American cartoons. There's this one called Dexter's Laboratory.
Yeah.
I really loved it.
Tell us more about it.
Yes. It's about a little boy, and he has a normal family, but he presses a button in his room. He's a super genius, and all of a sudden, you know, he just goes into a secret underground, huge laboratory, and he's doing just amazing things in there. And, yeah, and, you know, every kid's sitting there, and they're like, whoa,
oh.
Whoa, you know, and they love that, you know. But they fantasize about, man, what would it be like to be this kind of super intelligent person? And I remember reading this book when I was a kid. It was called Ender's Game, and it was made into a movie, okay? So it's this, in this book, right, the future of humanity is on the shoulders of a super brilliant young boy who is not the strongest when he competes to kind of lead humanity strategically against these aliens and win. And in the end of the, you know, you'll have to read the book, or I'm not going to spoil it for you, but this kid is very, very smart. And I remember reading this book and I was like, whoa, that is so cool. You know, how cool would it be to have that kind of intelligence so early on in life? Who doesn't want that head start? But first of all, to any parents that are pushing their kids as hard as they think a prodigy should be absorbing material like academic material, I think you need to take a break and realize that I think, A, prodigies are a product of just extremes, like extremeness on a spectrum, okay? I don't think their life is particularly easy. I don't think when you're that intelligent, things like socializing are that easy. You know, the things that I told you they excel at seem to be rule-based fields, okay? Finite-type fields of ones and twos and numbers. But maybe the more charismatic, more social aspects of life, the empathy, the kind of human traits, the EQ stuff, is really hard for them to master.
Yeah, I think that's also one thing that I wonder if parents that are pushing their kids to become a prodigy or are lusting for a genius in the family have thought about that side of the coin, so to speak. Mm. Because when you're so great at one thing and also getting that recognition when you're very young, that is all actually, I think, a whole different level and type of pressure and burden on a person. So I wonder how far can a person run this marathon instead of sprinting it, as Ryan says. Mm. So Huangshen, when you look at this, what do you think are maybe some of the not so bright sides of being a young genius?
Yeah, I think they may fear about failure more because I think most like prodigies, they tend to be the perfectionist. So whenever like something didn't go in line with their goals or their purpose, they may feel sad. This reminds me of a TV series. You know the spin-off like TV series of Big Bang Theory? Mm-hmm. It's called The Young Sheldon. They paint a picture for us how did like child prodigies life is about. I think like he has some like social awkwardness. He can't make friends at school because he's amazingly smarter than like other his peers.
I think intelligence is like a spectrum, and so maybe on one side you have EQ, on the other you have IQ, right? And so on one side you become more like a calculator, on the other side you become Mr. Dansois. Hola, you know, I know how to talk to people. Both are very valuable, and I think both deserve to be admired. But when they get to extremes, I think sometimes we see bad things. Specifically for prodigies, though, I think Huangshen points out a really good point. I would say the other side of that coin is they feel a lot of pressure to always be that prodigy. Imagine these guys that are being told by the media, you're number one, you're scholastically the best, you know, America or China has to offer, and you're so young. Imagine being a kid and holding that mantle. You could never fail. All eyes are on you. That could be a nightmare for these little kids or something they never wanted. Suddenly their intellect is a curse. So remember that too.
Yeah.
Also, I think just one last thing is these kids are probably always being pushed. Like you watch that Bobby Fischer movie and everybody's just making him play chess all the time. But maybe he never gets a second to just play something else. So this kind of thing, I don't think it's always as bright as we paint it.
Certainly. And when a family or a child feels that he needs to fabricate, to lie, to maintain that status, that is
so
seriously, I think, an ugly part of human nature. And we don't want anybody to be pushed to that corner.